Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a program dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. Boy, Evan Ryer, no shortage of topics on this trade deadline Tuesday, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have been active participants making the move to bring in Jacoby Myers, wide receiver. I guess you could have just put Jacoby on the team plane coming back. Sort of yeah. Had that feel to it. A lot of smoke around Jacoby Myers going into today, but becomes official, and I need your instant reaction to the Jags making that move.
I like it. I do like it. I mean, obviously, Jacoby Myers is not a head and above player over what the Jaguars already have. That being said, the team loses Travis Hunter due to the non-contact injury, and he's on IR, and it seems like he's going to be able to come back this year. But I mean, you never want to gamble with anything like that. So, Gladstone was proactive and said, okay, well, we're at least going to go get another solid guy. A guy that is a pretty explosive player. He's definitely like a down the field kind of a player, kind of similar to what we thought BTJ was kind of going to be for this team this year. And then, Travis Hunter would be kind of your, go get that 10 to 15 yards, make a bunch of men miss. Now BTJ is probably going to be more in that Travis Hunter role, and Jacoby Myers ought to be the deep shot guy.
You think Myers is going to be the focus at the top of the rotation? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, really, right now, that's kind of what he has to be.
Right.
The past 2 years coming into this year, really the past 3-4 years, I mean, Myers has been really solid, over 800 receiving yards in each of those seasons, had 1,000 last year in 15 games, 8 touchdowns in the year prior, only 4 last year. I mean, overall, I like this move. It's not a crazy amount of resources you're giving up. I mean, a 4th and a 6th can be useful, but the Jaguars have a lot of draft capital right now. You're not going to draft 11, 12, 13 dudes next year and get that much value of it. So go get this guy, see if he can do something for you in these last 7-8 games of the regular season. And then you go from there.
Yeah. It feels like a rental. He's in the last year of his deal. Myers is, you got a couple of guys that you had on the field against the Raiders late, Austin Trammell, Tim Jones, and give those guys credit. Tim Jones had a big catch against the Raiders on Sunday. Tim Jones does a nice job as a perimeter blocker. Probably doesn't get enough credit for that. Tim Jones is a special teamer. He is very much a core guy in the kicking game. So good for him. Trammell, speaking of special teams, had a big return there in overtime to really get the Jaguars started on that possession. But this is a move for a couple of reasons, in my opinion. It's necessity-based because now you got BTJ with an ankle. You've got Deami Brown in concussion protocol. We don't know how long Travis Hunter is out. And it also says to your fan base, I think, and not that this is a primary function of what Gladstone did in bringing in Myers. It says, yeah, we do believe we are in the window. And at 5-3, you absolutely should feel that way with the pieces you've got in place. And I wonder though, Evan, if they lose that game on Sunday and they're 4-4 instead of 5-3, do you think they're still dealing for Myers, or how do you view that? Because there is a big difference halfway through a season between 5-3, because 5-3, you're halfway to 11-6, 10-7. 4-4, you might be looking at 7-10, 9-8.
Yeah, I mean, you're 4-4 and you've lost the past 3, right? And you had a bye week in between some of those, and you played one of the worst teams in the NFL. So I hope they wouldn't have made that trade, because I wouldn't have been in the mood for it, to be honest with you. That being said, I think this deal was done and dusted on like Saturday night, because everybody was talking about it yesterday after the game. Tony Khan daps up Jacoby Myers, Liam Cohen daps him up. Like they knew like that, that was, they, I think everybody knew that deal was happening going into that game. I definitely would have felt a little bit different, but overall, I will always be a person that wants to see a team try and go win games, even if, you know, things are not going well. I love the assertive, proactive nature of Gladstone's general management style. So I'm happy. I've always, like I was kind of saying right before he started, I've always kind of liked this dude. So I'm with the deal.
I think that Myers is a nice pickup. I think BTJ still has to figure it out at some point,
yeah,
especially with Hunter down, because he's too dynamic, right? Yeah. I mean, BTJ, even with Myers coming in, he's still that guy in this rotation that can be more the Jimmy Smith to Jacoby Myers as Keenan McCardle. I think Jacoby Myers can be a volume guy. That's what he was last year. I do think he can produce some explosive plays, but even if you go back to his time at NC State, he's been around a 12 yard per catch guy. So we'll see how that dynamic plays out, but I still think, again, and you saw some glimpses of it against the Raiders, BTJ did some decent things, but then, you know, then he has the setback with the ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's frustrating right now, you know, really, you know, going into, I guess, that Seahawks game, the Jaguars injury setup wasn't too bad. You know, it was like, oh, okay. Like we're a bit beat up, but you know, guys are staying healthy enough. And then now it seems like it's starting to pile on. It just doesn't seem like there's a week in which the Jaguars can get a break, including, you know, after a bye week. I mean, you know, with Travis Hunter and then now that, it's going to be something that the Jaguars are going to have to continue to evolve and get creative on, like Liam Cohen's offense. We definitely saw it again against the Raiders where it was like, man, you guys are getting kind of, I don't know, predictable. And you know, you've only been, you know, really calling the offensive plays for eight games now. I don't know, man. It's still going to be very interesting to watch because, one, the Jaguars running the ball is still not really where it needs to be. And is Jacoby Myers a guy that can kind of change the dynamic? Not really sure about that.
Yeah. I'll say this. 22 carries for Travis Etienne against the Raiders. If you're getting him into the low 20s and keeping Trevor more into the mid-30s in terms of pass attempts, as we've talked about a lot here on the show, that is more the winning formula than had seen in the previous weeks when you get Trevor elevated into the 40s. But I was as impressed. I tweeted this during the game and immediately after the game on Sunday. That, to me, may have been Travis Etienne's most impressive performance as a Jacksonville Jaguar because he took a beating.
Yeah, and he fought.
He didn't just take it. He gave. He gave better than he got. And Travis Etienne isn't necessarily a back that's built that way or wired that way, but give that guy a lot of credit on Sunday and then caught five balls too. So 27 total touches for Travis Etienne, and none of them were really easy. He did have a long run of 20 yards in the game, a long reception of 16, but give Cohen some credit too in that offensive staff. They stayed with him and he took care of the football, which is obviously important. And made that more of a manageable situation for Trevor Lawrence and one that Trevor can be at his best in. And look, Trevor still had the abhorrent decision down in the red zone that led to that interception. But Trevor, under the weather, by all accounts, very, very ill Saturday night into Sunday, kind of had his flu game, I guess, for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, no, he also showed some toughness and some fight in this one. I'll give Trevor credit in the same vein. No, I actually thought, you know, after that interception, Trevor, you know, very much rebounded in a way that you kind of need him to. When he threw that pick, I was irate. I mean, it's just like, dude, it's the one.
Yeah, I got that text. I got that text. It went through.
Yeah, it's the one thing you can't do there. You know, it was a critical mistake. Oh, but after that, he was clean. And you know who also was pretty clean in this game? At least not necessarily penalties, but in terms of keeping Trevor clean, the offensive line. The offensive line only allowed one sack in this game. You know, you got Max Crosby on the other side. You know, they handled that well enough to at least, you know, get the offensive moving in the second half because, goodness gracious, in the first half, it was abysmal. trying to watch that offense.
And the tight end situation, not good right now.
I mean, no, it's bad.
We're down to one, I guess, by the end of that game Sunday. You had Cole Van Lannen, the extra offensive lineman, motioning across the formation.
It's not what you want.
And you also tried him as an inline guy. And in one particular instance, Crosby just shot that gap, made an easy tackle for loss. But you're right, with everything they've been through, not just at receiver, but also up front with some issues, give them a lot of credit for hanging in there against the Raiders, ultimately getting the job done. Another fourth quarter comeback by Trevor Lawrence. How about that?
Hey, rack them up. You know, it's all about when you win. And right now the Jaguars, at least for the majority of the season, are winning late. I mean, overall, I was fine with the offensive performance. I mean, it was awful to watch for the first quarter and change, but overall, I was cool with it. The defensive performance is what gets more and more concerning. Mm-hmm.
Four more TD passes allowed to
Geno Smith, who has had a very rough year. And, you know, we talk about the lack of quality at in that secondary, especially at safety. And Brock Bowers goes for 12 receptions, 127 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Jaguars better find something that can hold them over while they try and get Jordan Lewis and co healthy, because right now it's bad. It's
Brock
really
Bowers. They essentially used, the Raiders did, a very similar concept throughout the game, just sat him down against zone and let him do it after the catch. In large part, 3 touchdown catches for the former George Bulldog. You're right. No Eric Murray in the game on Sunday, and no Devin Lloyd either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you want Devin Lloyd as a linebacker matched up on Brock Bowers one-on-one.
But he's fast enough to run with him.
But it does make a difference. We talked about it before. Love Ventrell Miller and what he brings. Foye, obviously, important to what the Jaguars do. Those two guys, though, are too similar to be out there together a lot.
Yeah.
Devin Lloyd brings something a little different. And once again, another offense that when it goes two tight ends with Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer, they can get the Jags in some personnel groupings, more of a base look that is problematic for the Jags at outside linebacker when you start to factor that in as well. You know, we talk about some guys that made a huge impact. We haven't even talked about Cam Little yet.
Nope.
Just an amazing. You said on last week's show that your hope was get away, clear your head, come back. Slumping a little bit, Cam Little was. There were, you know, some concerns about how much longer he might be the guy for the Jaguars. But that 68-yarder right before the half, I know it was just 3 points in the book, but it felt like it should have counted for more, both in terms of the distance of the kick and what it provided that team going into the locker room.
No, I mean, you saw it, the way that the Jags celebrated after Cam Little hit that. And, you know, it should be a celebration because it's NFL history, and that's awesome. That being said, you narrowly avoided a shutout, and the way that the Jags looked at the end of the first half was like they just won the game. So you can tell that this team, and specifically Cam Little, like they've rallied around that dude. They know that he's good, and they want to back him up. And Cam Little's comments after the game, you know, kind of said as much too, where, you know, he loves being a part of a culture that, you know, has my back. You know, it's like, it seems like over the course of the past few weeks when he's really been struggling that, you know, Cohen and company have been, you know, behind him and saying, hey man, we're not worried. You know, we know what you can do. And this was his get right game. I mean, really, this was him showing up in big moments all throughout this game. You know, kind of coming through. I mean, you could definitely say that. I mean, obviously, if he doesn't make the 68-yarder, the Jags aren't in overtime at the end of that game. So, you know, wins above replacement, as they like to say in the MLB, that definitely
analytics
feels like a win above replacement. So,
yeah, and we get Firehouse. You know, it ought to be free Firehouse.
Yeah, honestly, if it's NFL yarder. History.
I mean, Bogo,
if he makes one over 70, it should be a free sub.
Bogo for a 68-yarder NFL record? Come on.
Yeah, Firehouse. It's insane.
Step it up for us. But, you know, we talk about the trade deadline. I'm sitting here refreshing Adam.
I know.
Schefter,
I'm like, where
on the reg right now on the old X machine. But it hasn't been all good news for the Jaguars today. And who knows, right? I mean, we're sitting here on the outside, and it's more about what the fans would like to see the Jaguars do. Quinnen Williams, you've talked about, in your opinion, the need. I know other folks have as well for the Jags to improve that defensive front. It won't be Quinnen Williams, the former Alabama standout. Instead, headed to the Dallas Cowboys from the New York Jets. And then sort of as a double whammy, Ev, now you got Sauce Gardner in the division. He goes from the Jets
to
the Colts. To the Colts, man, they gave up a good bit. I know we're in that sort of F them picks era of wheeling and dealing in the National Football League, but that still felt like a lot to get Sauce Gardner.
I think Diana Rossini put it best on Twitter, which was, she said, this is a huge win for New York, but why are the Colts doing this? Like, and it's not this is not a diss. This is not like sour grapes or anything like that with the Colts, you know, getting one of the best players arguably in the NFL. But it's a massive amount of resources for the Colts to give up for a guy that is fantastic and is on a long-term contract. But it definitely just kind of feels like an embarrassment of riches right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're definitely better with him, but also at the same time, it's kind of a wild move. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really pouring it on. Obviously, I'm going to hate having to watch, you know, either Jacoby Myers or BTJ try and, you know, get separation from Sauce Gardner. But they're clearly committed to not just trying to win this division. I think the Colts are thinking, you know, first round bye, you know, right. That's you're 7-2. Right. It's crazy stuff. It would have been really nice to have Quinnen Williams. Granted, seems like they got outbid from what I've seen online. I mean, the Jaguars don't really have a first round pick to give up. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, for Quinnen Williams,
in 2026. So, yeah.
Well, and it was first round and a bunch of stuff. I mean, they gave up, the Cowboys gave up Mazi Smith, who hasn't really worked out in Dallas, but was a first round talent mm-hmm. when he came into the league. So, I mean, that would have been sick. There's still time, right? Like, we got 40 minutes until the deadline to see if the Jaguars can go get, you know, an interior defensive lineman to kind of upgrade that group. And I really hope they do, because I would say more so than getting another receiver, even with Austin Tremell and Tim Jones running out there, I still think that the Jaguars need a difference maker at defensive tackle. And they've yet to be able to make a deal for one.
Give Devon Hamilton his flowers though.
He's been good.
Got the Paul in the passing lane on Sunday to seal that win in overtime. Good for him. But I don't think anyone would disagree with you. And there's such a premium on those kind of guys like Quinnen Williams. And if you have that asset, you really can pick your spot if you're the Jets. And it appears, as you outlined, that was the case. So now the Jags look back to division play coming up, Ev. Did you sense the irony in the CJ Stroud hit from over the weekend and maybe D'Amico Ryan's comments about it in the post game, after the events of Jacksonville a year ago when the Jags lost, Trevor to a big nasty blow?
Everybody takes their turn. I don't really look at it as like a, you know, like a ha ha, like, you know, whatever, but it just happens. Right. And, you know, if you approach it with the attitude that the Texans kind of did last year, then whenever it happens to you next, no one's going to feel a whole lot of sympathy for you. And I certainly don't feel much sympathy for the Texans. It's going to be, interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if, this is one of those situations where, oh no, CJ Stroud's good to go. And it's kind of on the fence. You know what I mean? Like, you want to believe that they're taking care of the players the best they can, but there's definitely been plenty of examples where guys are going when you're like, damn, that was a shot and a half and he couldn't see straight afterwards. The Texans have to win this game against the Jags this upcoming Sunday. I would be shocked if Stroud doesn't go. I really would. Even though the protocol dictates that more than likely he shouldn't be able to play. Yeah, I mean, this is one that they've got to have. So I'm still anticipating CJ Stroud this weekend.
Yeah, if you had Arch Manning basically getting KO'd at the college level on one Saturday and then starting the next Saturday against Vanderbilt like he did for the Texas
and Longhorns. Balling against
and Vanderbilt. Balling out. Now, we'll see. I mean, obviously, I kind of joke about that, but in all seriousness, every situation, how individuals go through that is obviously different. So it is the Jags at Houston coming up on Sunday afternoon. Huge, huge game in the AFC South, especially for two teams just trying to maintain contact with the Indianapolis Colts. And, hey, the Jags got some help, right,
last weekend. No, that's why you really had to beat the Raiders, because once the Colts went down, like, if you had lost that game and, you know, not just are you back to 500, but you're, like, not anywhere closer to the division lead, that would have been really frustrating. You know, I think part of what I was saying too is, like, if there was a different head coach in Houston, I think CJ Stroud might make a business decision and say, hey, I'm not playing. But D'Amico Ryans is one of those dudes that guys get up for. So that's part of the reason why I think he's going to be ready. But yeah, the Jaguars need to take advantage of this upcoming game. I mean, you know, the Texans are still, you know, they're definitely doing better than they were, you know, a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But this is one where you need to be going into that thinking must win, really, because they're still down on their luck right now. And if CJ Stroud can't go, if you're playing Davis Mills on Sunday, then you really don't have a choice. Like, that's a must win game.
Yeah. And even with that uncertainty, I guess Vegas is thinking what you're thinking about CJ Stroud being able to go, because the Texans are still a 1.5 point favorite. The total right now sits at 37.5. So not anticipating a shootout between the Jags and the Texans. Should be a lot of fun out in H-Town. Ev, you got anything else for us before we get out of here?
Only thing I was going to mention is that Asante Samuel Jr. is apparently healthy. He's been contacting teams this past week. If I'm the Jags, might be worth the flyer. Just throwing it out there.
You're already done with Greg Newsom. Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, it's not that I'm done with Greg Newsom, but I don't trust him right now. I mean, it's not a vibe. It's not a great feeling.
Who is the Jags' best corner right now? Is it still Buster?
I think it's Buster. Yeah. Buster had a pretty good game. Yes. I mean, he had the really, really nice pass breakup on Sunday. Uh-huh. And also in general had pretty solid coverage. Mm-hmm. I think on targets, he went 3 for 6, allowing receptions. I'll take that. But yeah, right now it's probably Buster until Jordan Lewis gets back. And in which case
he goes out early against the Raiders on Sunday too.
Yeah.
That's just amazing what that team overcame in the Jags in that win. Yeah, it's up in the air in that secondary right now, to put it kindly.
Jordan, never mind. I got duped by a fake account. Saved it before.
You gotta watch it. They're out
online.
The next
even,
30
hey,
minutes
you know,
on
even in 2025,
be,
you can still get God if you're not careful, if you're not paying
well,
attention.
The next 30 minutes of this
are about to be insane.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. It's about to be, it should be fun. And, you know, later this week when we meet back up, we can talk a little bit more about it. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some free agency stuff happening for sure. I mean, you know, guys are with trades and stuff like that. Guys are going to get released.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be dudes coming back from IR this week. You know, there's a whole lot of movement still to happen, I feel like, even after the deadline ends.
Yeah, it's an important mile marker in the NFL season, the trade deadline, but it doesn't mean, you know, that changes aren't still going to be coming moving forward. No doubt about that. Well, Ev, a lot of fun as always. Look forward to doing it again very soon. It is No Sleep Teal. If you have not subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. If you did us with a like, that would help us out tremendously too. Evan, take care. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. See y'all next time.
For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal. Till next time, so long, everybody.